guys, welcome to Empowering Motherless Daughters, where we help women to change, grow, and heal. My name is Zainab and I am your host. Thank you for joining me. I have with me today the amazing, I love her so much. I call her Dr. B, but her name is Bernadette Thomas. She's awesome. I'm gonna let her tell you all about herself.
Hello. My name is Bernadette Thomas. I know Z from our profession, nursing. We met at a job together, and I love her completely. She's the most authentic, keep it real person, one of the best people I ever met. And it's just an honor and a blessing to get to interact with her and to work. We have worked with her and still be friends with her. We are truly friends. We are bonded in a way that most women aren't bonded because we share that motherless daughter, that thing that still holds us back a little bit. So I teach nursing. I have my own business. I have a doctorate degree. I love nursing, the profession, but I love helping people more. So hopefully doing this interview will help me help you.
Yes. So guys, you heard it. She is a motherless daughter initially, but she, at the age of 12, got a mother.
Yes, right. I did. Through a very difficult process, but yes, I did.
So today we're going to be talking about empathy and how, as a motherless daughter, having that hole, that brokenness, how you can give yourself empathy as well as to others. Dr. B is like, when I met her, I think this first, let me tell you, this is how we started this whole empathy conversation. She was talking about, do you remember when we went to ShopRite? We came from ShopRite and we were talking about people that were not achieving. And you were like, well, you don't know why. Maybe it's because of this. And I was like being very judgmental. I was judging. Yeah. I was. And she was like, well, you don't know why people are the way they are. You know, it's not that easy for people to change their lives, blah, blah, blah. And I walked away from that conversation like, I know this a lot. I know exactly how it feels to not have the support, how it feels to not have someone believe in you for you to be able to take that next step. Because in order for you to achieve, you can't just do it by yourself. Like, you need a support system, whether it's your therapist, whether it's a group of friends, family members. And for us that come from that experience of not having a mother's love, which is the first love that we are supposed to know, it's kind of tough. So when I walked away from the conversation, I was like, I'm judging people. But here I am. I'm struggling with taking the next step in doing anything. So this is how we started the whole empathy conversation. So what does empathy mean to you?
Empathy means like not putting myself out of the picture completely, but putting myself in a place where I look at, that I think about where I've come from and think about how I felt and how I didn't have roadmaps to navigate and find the path that I needed to be on. So empathy is not taking yourself completely out of the picture, but looking at someone and saying they have a struggle. I may not be familiar with it, but I understand how difficult it is to move forward. So that's how I see empathy, as something that, you know, I don't know what you're going through, but I've been through something and I know it really sucks. And I know it probably is being, you know, sucky for you. So it's doing that without being too judgmental and having an understanding that, you know, I'm not perfect. I've been through some stuff and I know you're going through some stuff too, even though I don't know what it is. So it allows me to help people without me thinking, look at you, why are you wearing that? Or why do you have on those Gucci shoes with your Medicaid card? That's not for me. That's not my business. You know what I mean? I've grown to that people have circumstances and situations in their life that I'm not privy to that information. And what I'm there for is to be a support, even if it's just kindness and soft words to help them feel like somebody actually cares about them. And that literally is empathy. Saying, I see you hurting. I care about you. And even though I have my own set of hurt and circumstances here, I'm going to put that right here, not back here, but right here while I give you some care, some kindness, some concern. And maybe, you know, just some mild direction, even if it comes with that. Because sometimes people have questions when they think you care about them. So empathy to me is, you know, learning from everything that you had that hurt you and understanding that other people have hurt too. And people who grow up sometimes, not everyone, in circumstances where they have parents and family and this family unit that's thriving and blossoming into something, you'd be surprised. Most of the kids probably can't empathize because they have things coming to them in every direction. But then some of those kids in those families do wake up and go, I really have a lot. And why do I have a lot? When this person over here or this person over there does not have as much as me, I want to investigate that. I want to know why. And then they find out and they want to do something about it. And they establish all these kind of organizations and things like that. And they go on mission trips and all kinds of stuff to give, you know, and that is a good thing. That is, you know, being empathetic and also being proactive and caring. But most of the time, I find that people who are the most empathetic, most of the time, are people who do have hurt, people who do have experiences, and people who can understand. You know, it's different from sympathy, but empathy is a kindness, I believe, that says, hey, I care about you without having to use those words.
So, as a motherless daughter, how were you able to develop empathy to be able to show it to other people? Because you are like one of the kindest people I know. Oh my gosh, guys. She is so amazing. She's so caring, so loving. Oh my gosh. As a practitioner that I have worked with, I have never encountered someone like you. Truly.
You are so kind.
You know what you do. You know what you do. Oh my gosh. She goes above and beyond for her patients. I'm telling you, above and beyond. Sometimes I'm like, really, Dr. B? See, you don't have to do that.
When you grow up without love, you want to make sure everybody has it. When you grow up without that connection, I think mothers in general have such a huge responsibility to empower their daughters and their sons to feel whole in the world. Mothers are strong. Mothers can have babies. Mothers can multitask like there's no other. I mean, it's insane. Like, now that I've been a mother for 14 years, the things that I can do simultaneously or multitasking blows my mind. So mothers are supposed to get in front of their children and show these behaviors, but also say, man, I love you to death while I'm doing this. So, you know, when you grow up without that love, you know, for me, it was almost like a detective thing for me. I'm in search of it. And along the way, I realized that people just need empathy. People just need someone to care about them. Having a motherless relationship doesn't prepare you for that. So you have to kind of seek it out. You kind of have to go and find it. And a lot of times, I'm no psychologist, but I've found that a lot of times people who grow up in these circumstances often have a lot of mental health issues. Men, women, whatever pronoun you want to use for yourself, have a lot of issues because that bond is so strong and so important, I feel, that, you know, it causes a sense of, like pieces are missing. You know what I mean? Like something is truly missing. And, you know, I'm blessed to say that at an early age, I got it. This woman cannot love me.
Wow.
I got it right away. And my sister, who's 2 years older than me, ran around like a maniac trying to get our biological person to love her. She was just bent on getting this response, this reaction, and she never got it. And she has gone through a lot in her life, a lot of searching, a lot of decisions, that could have used more thought. But, you know, me, I got it very young, very young. And I understood when she used to call me Miss Hollywood when I was five, that that wasn't normal for her to call me that, because I liked clean things. I was poor as a church mouse, but I liked my clothes clean. And I liked to look as presentable as I could being an impoverished child. So instead of her saying, look at her making the best of our little bit, she nicknamed me Miss Hollywood. And I realized when I was five that I didn't appreciate that as it was iron in my clothes. But, I mean, I realized early on that our relationship was not what I saw in other friends with their parents. So I never tried to get it from her, but I tried to get it from the world to try to find out what it was. And one of the things that I do use is empathy, because even though the person doesn't know me, just them appreciating me caring about them is like a bolus of love. If you know what a bolus is, it's a large amount at one time. And it's like hugs almost. Like this feeling of like, I can't even explain it. So it for me in the world, that helped me become a better mom, helped me interact and care better for my patients. Because you can't beat that. You cannot beat empathizing with someone. No, I don't know the details of your struggle, but I see that you're hurting. You know? And it might be simply giving someone a glass of water. And they're so grateful. Being able to do that coming from a place that you didn't learn love is a challenge, but also a greater reward. So doing that actually helped me grow with being a motherless daughter. Doing that, doing more for people in an empathetic way, not necessarily shelving out all this money, but being there and being caring and being a good listener and just offering some nice caring words and kind words. So, I mean, you have to seek it out. And once you start doing that, I feel I'm able to be at peace with that part of my life in the beginning that was missing. So it helps me. It helps me, you know, be, you know, what I call more human, more normal, what people should be. But I do mess up. I'm not perfect. Sometimes I do mess up and I have to collect myself and be like, B, is that right? Let's do this differently. And I do a lot of times do that. So.
Oh, that was just awesome. So what I'm hearing you say is that you are able to fill your cup, meaning that aspect of you, that hole that you had in your heart, you are able to fill it by just you showing empathy and people showing appreciation.
Absolutely. Because how did I feel for me not having that? It was devastating. It was traumatizing. You know what I mean? How did that feel for me? Would I wish that on anyone else? Absolutely not. So being empathetic to people and being able to put someone, not necessarily first, but in front of me so that I see them and I hear them and I can be there for them, even if it's just for a glass of water. Like everyone made this big to-do, for example, that I let the census lady come in my house 2 years ago. I mean, she just looked completely drenched, wiped out. She was probably in her 60s. And I said, you know what? Come on in. Come on in, sit down. This air conditioning is good, honey. Come on in. I'm going to get you a bottle of water. I'm going to fill out this paperwork or whatever. You know, I'll tell you who's all in the house. Come on in. And she was just like, I saw her going from this drenched lady with her clipboard or whatever thing she had to leaving out with her shoulders back and feeling like she was ready to take on the world. So it could be just the little things. I'm not saying invite people, strangers in your house, though. But just little things that, I mean, just what you get back is definitely like this. It is that. I mean, because just think of how your mom would have hugged you when things weren't going well. You know what I mean? How a mom's supposed to do that. You know what I mean? When you fall down and bump your knee, or when you had a bad fight with your BFF or whatever the kids are calling it these days, and how your mom is supposed to be there and go, it's okay. Da, 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 da. I mean, you know what I mean? So it's kind of helps replace that. It kind of think about what that would have been like. And this gives that, empathy, that hug, you know what I mean? That energy that you need. So
What do you say to people that are like, well, your mom is always going to be your mom. So what, she didn't take care of you. So what, she didn't do blah, 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 blah. Just get over it.
You know what's funny? I'll tell you. My biological person.
I love that. My biological person.
She birthed me. My sister, I'm just going to keep it real. So my biological mother liked the alcohol. She loved alcohol and occasionally marijuana. Now, I'm almost 50 this year. So this was like 70s and 80s. She thought me and my sister were her personal punching bags. Not only did she physically beat us, she verbally and emotionally tried to destroy us. She pretty much was very successful with my older sister, who I love. And so I watched her. My sister was extremely book smart. I was book smart. I am book smart, but I'm also have a little bit more common sense. So I watched my sister just be destroyed. And I used to look at my older sister and think, I'm going to be just like her when I grow up. She is so smart. She always has her school books. She, you know, she's who I want to become. And I watched a woman who had no love to give destroy my sister and take things from her that you're not supposed to take from your kids and rob her of a life and a future that could have been so great with someone with so many gifts. So she tells my sister today, my sister's in her 50s, early. I said early, okay. who's in her 50s, that she needs to get over it. She has yet to apologize. She has yet to say anything that was kind and caring and go, you know what, I was young, I messed up. But she wasn't that young, let's be honest. She didn't ever say, I'm sorry. If she could ever get to the point where she could say, I'm sorry, I wasn't a good mom, I shouldn't have burnt you guys on the stove or threw you down several flights of stairs or punched you or hit you with a bag of glass. And, you know, there's a long list. So to apologize and say any type of I'm sorry never came. And I watch my sister to this day. She's a fighter and she has made it. Oh my God, I might cry. She has made the best she could do with who she became. And it hurts me that the biological couldn't say that she was sorry. She repeatedly till this day tells her, you just need to get over it. You just need to get over it. And I think that that's wrong. And no, you don't have to get over it. No, you can have it and embrace it and say, this is a part of who I am. But no, you don't have to get over it. They owe you an apology. They owe you an I'm sorry. They owe you an explanation for why they wanted to do that. So if you're not going to get it, that doesn't mean you need to get over it. You need to understand that those are tools to use of who you should not become. That is who that's what that is. A person who can't say they're sorry for hurting you so profoundly, use that as a tool of who not to become. Set that as the bar of who you never want to go above. You want to be this great, loving, kind, empathetic person that appreciates people for who they are, and you accept that they're not perfect just like you. You accept that there are some voids in their life just like you, which allows you to have more empathy and get those hugs. Mm-hmm. Get those hugs, those nice, and it is a nice replacement for us. It's a nice replacement for the honey, it's okay. I know you were scared. I'm here with you. It's a nice replacement for all of those phrases and behaviors you didn't see, but you get that from strangers in a different way. And that's why I believe blessings are so sneaky. you don't really identify them right away, but they are so important for us. And I think we're special too, because I think someone saw us in the universe and said, this person can handle this, and out of this is going to come something great. This person's going to do something good for people. This person's going to have a message. It's going to be messy in the beginning, a whole hot mess. But eventually, it's going to be a tool that you can use to embrace people in an empathetic way that gives something back to you that's important, which is that you matter. You said this person matters, and they give it right back and says, you do too. So, I mean, I would have probably traded a lot in my life for a really great mother, a really during the time when it's important. But, you know, I did eventually get a family that thought I was important, and it was later in my life, and there were some bumps in the road. And although my adopted mom is amazing, let me tell you, I'll never be able to fill that spot in my life where I didn't have someone who thought that I was important enough to breathe. To breathe. So, I mean, we are never going to be like the people who have those Beaver Cleaver families. We're never going to be like that. But we can learn to navigate the world without having that tension, that, you know, that feeling that holds us back. That feeling that sometimes captures people and they end up in unhealthy behaviors because that void is there.
Woo. That was so good. That was so good. These are the conversations that I have with her. And I keep her on the phone sometimes for a long time chatting with her. And I'm like, Dr. B, you need to talk to the people. You need to talk to the people. So, guys, we're going to take a short break and we will be right back. Thank you.
Everything that I went through, I should be homeless, on the streets, probably alcoholic or drug addiction or the combination of both. In jail, out of jail, a violent criminal probably. I mean, I have every ounce of that in me I could be. It was taught to me. But I choose not to be that way. I choose to say, yeah, I didn't like my outcome.
Okay, welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. I have with me again, Dr. B. Bernadette Thomas. I'm sorry, Bernadette Thomas, but I call her Dr. B. I love calling her that. I don't know why. It sounds very cool, but at the same time, it sounds very like she's a doc.
Yeah, but maybe you're just proud of me.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe you say because you're just proud of me.
Yes, Dr. B. I am very proud of her. Very, very happy to know her. I mean, I tell her this all the time. I'm not a good liar. I let my emotions out. I had to learn how to be honest and how to be vulnerable. Because a lot of times growing up, I thought if I expressed to someone that I like them or I love them or I care, I want them in my life, that means that they would treat me badly. You know, they would be mean or cruel or whatever to me. So when I, as I was growing up, I learned to just keep my feelings and my emotions to myself. But then after a lot of hard work in therapy, and you guys know I love therapy now. I meditate. I try to center myself and give myself some positive messages. I learned it's okay if you care about someone, you're proud of someone, you appreciate who they are. It's okay to express that. It's okay to say, you look good today, girl. You look beautiful. I like what you've accomplished. So pretty much that's what I'm trying to tell her. She just wrapped that up for me.
Who was supposed to say those things to you, though?
Ooh. My mommy. Ooh. But I didn't have a mother. Okay, so wait, let's talk about it. Because that is so true. Because mm-hmm. No one ever told me. Like, literally, I had to start telling myself that at the age of 33, no one has ever expressed to me that I was enough. That it was okay to not be perfect. So I had to learn that and say those things to myself. And now I got it. Now I don't stress about nothing, really. Because I'm okay. If I don't get it right today, I know I'll get it right tomorrow. I'm just at peace with myself. But my mother used to criticize me like hell. I was either too dark. I was either not, I didn't have the body that I should have had. And I was like 14 years old. And she would just look at me with so much anger. She was angry when she would see me. So I learned as a little kid to just not be seen. You know, I learned that very early. So when I, growing up, I used to not have a voice. I mean, I literally just found my voice at 33.
I love it. Keep it loud.
Oh, yeah. Loud. So what is the difference for you between a mommy and a mother?
Well,
because someone corrected me. Someone corrected me on Facebook because I was like, I said the word mommy and she was like, she went off. So I was like, okay, what is the difference between a mommy and a mother?
I think, I didn't see the post, but I think a mommy is someone that they think is kind of there and mm-hmm. you develop that nickname, mommy, mm-hmm. where a mother, sometimes, not all the time. I mean, behaves in a different way, behaves in a more, I guess, a distance. There's a distance in between a relationship. You know, there are rules, there are certain behaviors and things that need to go a certain way, where mommy's like, whatever. that's what I think maybe people believe. For someone like me, though, either one would have worked. Either one would have worked. You know, any example of either one would have worked. But, I mean, I don't want to have a bunch of technicalities about that. But for people who grew up without a mother or a mommy, for us, either one would have worked.
Yeah, I would have been okay. So
that argument is kind of not really good. That person probably should have given some, been given some space to give some more explanation. Right. You know, the famous phrase, tell me more about that.
Yeah. Oh, tell me more. I learned that nursing 101 interview assessment. Yes.
Tell me more.
Tell me more.
Yeah. To get them to kind of give you some direction to see what they were going on. But honestly, people like us, we'll take either. I mean, mm-hmm. most of us, you know, I mean,
well, she was saying that a mommy is someone that's there on a day-to-day basis, assisting you, helping you. They're mentors, they are supporters, versus a mother is just someone who gave birth to you. They're just a mother. So I, for me, what I got from that is that not all mothers are mommies. Are mommies.
Well.
So what's your thought on that?
I mean, if we're going to be that technical about it, I mean, we can just call them vessels.
Whoa!
That carried us.
And I did not see that coming.
When you came out, the job stopped. You know what I mean? I mean, because mother and mommy, those still define a person who cares about you. May be caring about you differently, but it still defines the person that cares about you. A person that brings you into this world and doesn't technically care about you pretty much was a biological vessel. You know what I mean? They carried you to the point, you came out, and, you know, at the mercy of the world, you survived. But, I mean, if we're talking about women who truly didn't care about us or didn't know how to care about us or had no tools to care about us and so forth, they're pretty much vessels. You know what I mean? I mean, if I looked back at what I got from my biological mother, it's simply this. I have, still have a temper that is really not pleasant. If someone makes me angry enough, I can really show out. Just to be honest. I come from someone who belittled me and beat me with broomsticks and stenchin cords and pulled my hair out and punched me and pounded on me and treated me badly. So I have a temper. I'm not proud of it. I do have that. So she gave me a nice temper. And she taught me how to braid hair. Like, I can braid. Not because she sat and showed me. It's because I have OCD. I'm going to put it out there. I have it. And I watch things meticulously. I watch things. So I could watch her doing braiding my hair. I mean, till I was about ready to, you know how, let's be honest, you know how mothers are that comb black girls' hair. So I mean, she could do my hair and braid it really, really tight and all this carrying on. So I just watched her hand strokes and how she did it. So I got a bad temper and I learned how to braid really well. Let's see. Oh, and I'm artistic. She could draw these really bizarre pictures when I was little, and I really thought that they were pretty cool, and I can most certainly emulate them right now without any hesitation, and I can draw pretty well. I can't paint a darn thing, but she gave me some things, and those were all collected indirectly. It was nothing that she was like, here, let me show you. That was not happening. So pretty much, like, I got things from her. Some I'm proud of, some I'm not so proud of, but she basically was a vessel for me, you know?
So for you, mommy and mother are the same thing pretty much. It's close.
It's someone who actually cares about you. Yeah. We're talking about women who literally had nothing positive, not a single bit of good energy to supply us. Even in the little times that we thought and were hopeful, those things usually backfired anyway, or there was some benefit for that person. And not such a benefit for us. So, you know, like at Easter time, we were always dressed up so pretty and hair done and had these matching outfits on only Easter. And she'd parade us around so people could see how cute we looked and whatnot. But no one knew probably 10 minutes before we walked out the door that she had punched me in the back 10 times or you slung my sister across the floor and all this kind of carrying on. But she wanted the benefits that people could see us and we look so cute.
The public benefit.
Yeah. Or taking us to family gatherings and telling us you better not speak to anyone. If I see you talking to anyone, I'm going to take you home and you're going to get it. So I had relatives that I didn't have conversations with until I was an adult, because when I would go to family gatherings, me and my sister would be like this. And you know, there's that you better not eat anything and ask for anything to drink and all that carrying on. So me and my sister would be at like family. And be like this, like paranoid about how to behave, because if she sees us talk to uncle such and such or aunt such and such or their kids, we're going to get it. So she paraded us around like she cared about us, but there was no caring. She literally can't care, even to this day. She can't. She's very self-fulfillment driven.
Mm. Yeah. So would that be considered a narc, like a narcissist?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. And there was a whole bunch of mental health stuff there, I'm sure. I don't know if she even sees anybody for all that and whatnot, but I know there's some things going on that should be addressed or are being addressed, who knows. But she definitely had a very big narcissistic, like the things that she used to say to me and my sister, I would never say to my kids ever for any reason. I mean, there's a few choice words my kids get sometimes because they act that way, but not the amount of venom and vile and hatred behind her calling us those things. And me being so young, not able to process it. So, like, I'm telling you, if you have children and you have a family, use these things as what you don't want to be. Put them on your list of things you don't want to be. Be the opposite of all of it. Because you're going to be victorious. You're going to have the family. You're going to have these kids that grow up well. You're going to have good friends that love you. Be the polar opposite of everything that you saw that hurt you. Everything that you saw that had pain. Everything that you saw that was confusing and disconcerting and hard to kind of figure out, is this right? Anything that made you guess yourself. Be the opposite of all of that. It's such a complex situation. And I didn't realize how much until I became a mom.
I was going to ask you about that, because a lot of women that I've been getting emails, and I've talked to a couple of them, that don't want to have kids because of how they grew up, because of the experience they had with their mothers. They are afraid of becoming their mothers when they have kids. Speak to them.
Well, let me tell you, everything that I went through, mercy, Jesus, everything that I went through, I should be homeless, on the streets, probably alcoholic or drug addiction or the combination of both, in jail, out of jail, a violent criminal probably. I mean, I have every ounce of that in me I could be. It was taught to me. But I choose not to be that way. I choose to say, yeah, I didn't like my outcome. Why would I want to put that on somebody else? So it helped me with patience. It helps me want their success to be better than mine. And then not just like career-wise, but just how they are, can work in the world. Like how I had to go through 11 years of anger management. I don't want that for my kids. You know what I mean? I told you I had a temper. But I mean, I had to go through that. I don't want that for my kids. I don't like my temper. I don't like the things I went through, and I don't want my kids to embrace any of that. I tell them straight out who I am, what I've been through, why I behave some way differently sometimes in certain situations. I explain to them who I am, and I tell them every day with you, I'm trying to be different. Every day with you is a practice day for me to be better. So my kids know. I hug them. I love them. I praise them. I tear them if I have to. You know what I mean? Like, I use tough love when I have to, but I understand that sometimes I have to say, I'm sorry. That was too much.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's not right. Don't do that to your kids. Understand me when I say, yes, that was not healthy. And I'm able to say phrases like that to them because I explain to them who I am. I explain to them that, yeah, you know, your one friend who has both her parents and the grandmom and everybody always gets together as a family and it's very family-esque and she's all like, yay. I was like, I didn't grow up that way. So I explained to them where I've come from, some of my experiences, not all of them, because I don't think they can handle them quite yet, but it helps them understand who I am. Like when me and my daughter are out and there's situations that she sees pushing my button, she'll go, oh, okay, this is not going to be good, Mom. And I go, I know. So my kids, they've learned to understand me, but they make me want to be better. And I don't want them to be have what I have. I want them to navigate this world in warrior mode at all times and understand that they come from someone who will tooth and nail, scorch this earth, and bring what I have to bring to make sure that they are safe and sound and loved and cared for, and just, you know, empower them and with every ounce of my being, every cell, every fiber, every single strand of who I am. So, and they've turned out okay. A little spoiled, let's be honest. They've turned out okay, and I'm proud of that. So how would your mother have felt if she would have been proud of you? Because I know how that feels for me, being proud of my children. And it also frustrates me because I think, how could she not want to be proud of me? How could she not want that?
Or how could she not love me? Like, I don't know how people do that. Because I love my son. I would do everything in me.
Scorch it up.
Like, I don't understand. I don't get it. How could you have kids that you don't love? Like, that to me just blows my mind.
It's baffling. Because how you feel, remember I was telling you about those hugs? You get that 24 hours from your kids. Now, I know when they turn teenagers, believe me, it's been very interesting.
Okay.
But
I have one.
I still love on them. Mm-hmm. I still, even though my son doesn't want me to kiss him in public because he's a whole 12, and but at home, he's, and I get all I can get. And that is the best feeling. How you as a mother would not want that?
I don't get it.
However, I'm a segue here. I'm going to get back on track. I'm a segue. I thought about this. So when we have slavery, so to speak, and it's barbaric and brutal and just so inhumane, how can a culture of people feel that they matter in the world so soon when this is a behavior that went on for over 400 years? So I think about that, and I think about my grandparents and their experiences in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and how they behaved and how that translated into the vessel who birthed me. And I wonder, you know, this day, if that brutality, that you're less than human. And I look at the pictures and stuff that I saw from those times and how barbaric and just brutal and just, and you destroy the conscience of a race, a group of people. It can remove the value of humans that look like you. So I think about that sometimes, mm-hmm. if during the time when my vessel grew up, were those behaviors too heavy and changed her brain of how she thought people who look like us ought to be treated. So I think about that. I mean, that could be overthinking, but I know for us in African American culture and African culture, the correction, so to speak, or the discipline can be a little heavy and almost brutal still.
Considered a norm.
Yes. So I wonder sometimes if that had such a profound effect on. I wonder that. But at the same time, it's really bizarre because my maternal grandmother, who I loved, had, I believe, 8 kids. My vessel was the only one that didn't have, like, steady income, steady things, a steady house. Like, a lot of my aunts and uncles had a steady home, steady jobs, worked for big companies, retired, or still always had some type of employment. Mm-hmm. And my vessel never did. I mean, I saw food stamps more than I ever saw cash money. And if it did come, it never hit my hands. But I wonder for her if there was something more, you know, more brutal, or, you know, something that she saw, or something, or some way she was treated by maybe my biological donor who donated to the vessel to create this process. If maybe he was... broke her down and did something. I mean, I don't know. But regardless of what you've gone through and what I've been through, I never want to treat my children less than fully loved.
See, right there, you were just exercising empathy. Yes. Right there. Mm-hmm. And you can have empathy for your mother. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have contact with her. Because if you, if your interaction with her is unhealthy, I mean, it's not going to, you're not going to be your best. What's the essence of you being around her? But that does not mean that you cannot empathize with her. So it's okay for you to have empathy for her from afar.
Mm-hmm. Like, very far, though.
With my brother used to get so angry and so mad because I used to chase my mother for her love. I did everything I could try to be that daughter. At one point, I went to her, even though she was never there, never cared. I could die. It don't mean nothing to her.
I hear my friend's mom's calling them, saying it's time to eat. You know what I mean? And I'm like... I'm not getting the call. We're going to go, I don't know, to the supermarket. I'm going to supermarket with my mom. Or I'm going to go to the baseball game with my dad. And those are not even good examples. But just seeing people around me and their dynamics of their family were so different from mine. And me realizing that, we're warriors. We're a different kind, but we're warriors. We are not the same as other people. We're not. And when you embrace that and understand that, then it will be easy for you to tell people. Because we shock a lot of people with our personalities.